On the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Beef, that's what's for dinner. You guys remember that commercial. Anyway, we have 90 degrees. Man, it feels hotter than that out there. But anyway, it's actually it just jumped up to 91. The wind's out of the south at 14 miles an hour. Gusts up to 21 miles an hour. Humidity is 48%. And I'm pretty sure nobody's out there baling hay right now, or it'd be crumbling unless it's some grass. But today I have a special guest on. We got all kinds of things to go on today, but Mr. Cade Nickerson, he's vice president of Farm Credit at Enid, Oklahoma. And he's a legend. He's a legend in Oklahoma now. He's probably a legend all over the country. And we're going to be talking to him a little bit about how he became a legend. Welcome to the show, Cade.
Well, thanks for having me, Jimmy.
Well, appreciate you coming on. So over the weekend, you become a legend on social media. And you were a Beaver, is that correct?
Yeah, it was actually back in April is when the Cow Chip Championship was, but they didn't air it until Friday, I guess, last Friday.
So. Right, yeah, it was on ESPN. I don't know if it was on ESPN 3 or ESPN 8. There's a lot of cackling going on social media and giving you a lot of crap about that. But so your nickname now is Thunderbolt, is that correct?
Oh, I guess that's kind of, you know, they'd asked me if I had a nickname, and I said, well, not any we could put on radio, and or TV, I'm sorry. And then they said, well, I'd done that interview, and so then they said, well, what if we just called you Old Thunderbolt? I said, yeah, that sounds great. Well, they kind of took that and ran with it, and it's probably gotten out of hand at this point. So.
Well, before we get hot and heavy into your throwing arm, can you tell us a little bit about you, where you were raised at, and how you end up where you're at now?
Yeah, you know, I actually am from Western Oklahoma. I grew up in Fargo, Oklahoma. Graduated there in 96 and played a lot of baseball over there. Played for the Woodward Travelers and all that good stuff. And
you were good.
Played a little ball. Well, I don't know about that, but they let me hang around, I guess, so that was the main thing. But yeah, I probably played a little ball in Elk City, I'm sure, at some point. But, yeah, I went to college, played baseball for 4 years in college, ended up in Garden City, Kansas, and then finished up at Northwestern Oklahoma State. And then I ended up going down to Oklahoma State and graduated from there. I liked college a lot. I just kind of kept going,
you're one of those guys.
yeah. And I ended up getting a job with Farm Credit of Southwest Kansas, and ended up in Liberal Kansas. Worked there for 2 years, and they had an opening down here in Enid, and I didn't think they'd take me, but they were. I guess they were desperate that day, so I ended up down here in Enid, and I've been here since 2006. You know, it's a good place. I've enjoyed it. The agriculture is a good place to loan money in ag. So
yeah, that's a big agriculture area around Enid, that's for sure. And because you guys got all kinds of crops around there. I mean, we have all kinds of crops in our listening area here, from peanuts to rye to wheat and bukus of cotton and alfalfa. But up there, my in-laws live up there, and there's corn, there's all kinds of sorghum besides corn, you know, milo. You guys got it going on out there. Big fields too.
Yeah, it seems like they try something new all the time. I mean, we went through canola, and now we've got cotton in the area, and that's, you know, that's kind of a new crop for this area. But it's a So far, it's been good. I mean, but yeah, it seems like we've rolled through a few crops that they think are going to work, and then they don't work real well. So
yeah, when I went up to, I was caught off guard last year, and I went up to Kansas to the go pheasant hunting, and we was over there by on our way from Ashland to Greensburg, and there was a cotton gin out there, and I about fell over, and I was like, whoa, when they start doing this up here, big old yellow bales of rolls of cotton out there. I didn't know they had a gin up there.
Yeah, they've got pretty aggressive in the cotton there, you know, in southern Kansas, and I've got several customers that actually grow cotton in that area. So
there you well, we'll get back to a little bit of, if we have time and you've got time, we'll get back to a little bit of agriculture and what you're seeing up there in that area. But back to your cow chip throwing deal. What was that throw? That had to be the most perfect cow chip throw I've ever seen in my life.
Well, yeah, maybe you just haven't seen enough cow chip throwing. Maybe that's the deal. But
I guess not.
You know, it was. They said it was 161 and a half feet, and you know, I don't know. I didn't really know what I was doing. My wife's from Beaver, and we've been to the cow chip before, but I'd never actually participated in it. She had mentioned, hey, we needed to take the kids and go back to the cow chip, and I said, all right, you know, and I don't know that I was overly excited about it, but I got there, and, you know, we were walking around, and she said, well, let's go check out the cow chip throwing, and so I went over there, and I seen all the ESPN signs, and I thought, you know, are they going to put this deal on TV? And I asked somebody, and they said, yeah, they were going to have it on TV, and especially if you won, and so I said, well, I better enter this thing, so I did, and anyway, I kind of was standing around there, and I didn't know when they were ever going to start, and I finally asked them, I said, hey, when's this thing going to start? And they said, oh, it's starting right now. And I said, well, when am I going? And they said, well, you're first. And I was like, well, I said, I noticed a lot of these other guys have two cow chips. Do I need two? And they said, yeah, you get two throws. So I ran over there. They got a big wagon that they keep all the cow chips in. And I ran over there, and I grabbed a cow chip real fast. But the first one I'd picked out, you know, I thought I'd found the perfect one, you know, is, you know, about the size of a Frisbee, and I thought this is going to be the one. Well, when I went and ran over there and grabbed that other one, it was a smaller one, and that's the one that I threw first and the one that I ended up winning the contest with. And so now I've got a little better idea of what, you know, what a guy wants to grab when you're getting into this cow chip throwing. And probably going to have to start training year-round for this deal. So.
Are you going to go on some kind of nutritional protein diet and play a little more golf so you can work your arm muscles out a little better?
Yeah, I mean, I've done all that. One thing that's probably really going to benefit me is I've got a herd of miniature Herefords, so they're gonna throw them smaller cow chips that are ideal for this contest, and so that's really going to help my my training regimen.
How long have these cow chips been drying?
I don't know, but I mean everything in the panhandle's dry, so I mean they make sure all of them are kind of that almost whitish green color. I mean they're almost petrified, but there's a few of them guys I've seen must have got some that still had some moisture in them, because they'd throw them out there and they'd go about, you know, 20 foot in the air and they'd blow up like a clay pigeon. But yeah, I don't know who's in charge of picking up the cow chips, but it's probably a pretty prestigious honor to be able to pick out the cow chips, I'm sure.
Well, I just had a thought. If you're just joining me, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I got Cade Nickerson from Enid, Oklahoma, and he was quite the hit last Friday when ESPN televised the cow chip throwing contest at Beaver, Oklahoma last April, because I was going to ask you about that, because I seen you guys in jackets and I knew that it couldn't have been last weekend. So, but so that's who I got on the show today, and he's telling us about this events leading up to this. It was a toss. I mean, that thing was almost perfectly straight. It had a little bit of a draw on it, so that must have come from baseball.
I guess. I kind of, my, you know, my sidearm throw finally worked out for me. So, you know, I've been waiting for years for it to finally pay off, but it did finally. But no, it was fun. It was something different for sure, but it was, and it was cold. Yeah, it was cold that day. I mean, my wife and the kids, they watched me throw, and then they went and sat in the vehicle, and they were wanting to do something else, and I kept watching, and I kept telling them, I said, I think I might win this thing, you know, and they said, well, can we just go ride some of the carnival rides? And I said, I can't leave. I'm going to be interviewed by ESPN, you know, and so anyway, they were getting pretty tired of it, and by the end of the weekend, they were real tired of it, because I kind of mentioned to them that, you know, their life was probably going to be changing since I was a world champion, and they'd probably had enough of it. So,
so have you got any sponsors out of the deal yet?
I don't think so. I've got a buddy that makes barbecue sauce, and he mentioned something on Facebook, and I told him I needed a sponsor, and he said, you know, that it was done, but I haven't seen any barbecue sauce, so I don't know what all that involves, but it's a. I had my farm credit jacket on, so I kind of felt like, you know, that maybe the president here was going to say, hey, you know, we're sponsoring you, but I think he just pays me every other week or something, and that's kind of my sponsorship. So,
well, then,
and I don't want to push my luck. So.
No, well, I had a surprise for you today, but, you know, I know the farm credit of Western Oklahoma and you guys aren't the same deal. It's like comparing different banks to banks here in the hometown. But I had Jeff Cole and Mike Brinkley. They were going to be on here today with me, and they customers came first, so they, you know, they couldn't make it. So they were going to tear into you on this deal. It was going to be. My wife called it something, and I'm not going to repeat what she called it, but it was going to be pretty fun.
Oh, I could handle them, too. I wouldn't have any problem with those guys. But, yeah, I'm sure that their customers were probably Burger King or something over there. I'm sure that was the customer they had to get to. So.
Well, I had a guy just text in on the line. If you guys got any questions for Cade about any techniques or something, you can text in here on the while he's on the air with me to the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. But I had one come in here just now, and a friend of mine here that is from up in that area, he said, I was back-to-back gunny sack race champion at the Beaver Cowchip World Championship. My second championship, Governor David Hall gave me the prize. He was put in prison later that year, he said. So, so anyway, I won't say his name in case there's a little BS in that Governor David Hall deal. But anyway, so you've already got a fan here already. And,
wow.
But, yeah, if you guys want to see that, if you'll get on Cade's Facebook page, and that's the first thing that pops up on his page is his throw, and it really was. It was an awesome throw. What I seen was funny was those, looks like there was some volunteer firemen out there, and there was some kids out there in FFA jackets from what I seen, and when you threw, they just started running backwards. They act like they'd never seen a throw like that before.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny because I threw it, and kind of the whole crowd went, you know, ah, or something. And I was like, well, and then the guy they had up there that was kind of running the show, that on ESPN they kept saying his name was Joe DeNoyer, but that's not right. His actual name was Alan Clark, but anyway, he said, you know that, he goes, that's a pretty dang good throw, and I kind of said, well, I don't know. I didn't know if it was good or bad. I didn't have any idea. But, you know, then I found out later that the record is like 181 foot. So I was telling my wife, I said, you know, if I'd have stretched a little bit, I probably could have had the world record. But, of course, this was one of the times she was tired of hearing about it.
And, yeah, you think she's going to let you go back next year? You got to go back.
I don't know.
You're a returning champ.
Yeah, maybe you just go out on top. Maybe you just retire at the top, and you know, you just, and I, you know, I'm getting older all the time, so I don't know if I can just keep doing this. But oh, I don't know. I guess we'll see. if I can make it back out there or not. But
this gentleman that texted in, he must know his history up there, because he's telling me that Leland Searcy holds the record. So
yeah, I looked at it in the program. I couldn't remember who it was, but yeah, I knew somebody. It wasn't me. I knew that. But
Do you have time to talk a little bit of ag business up there? Do you have a little bit of extra time to talk about what you guys? Well, I need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit if you got time. So it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and I'll be right back after this.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. The maternal traits and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back, everybody. I have Cade Nickerson. He's from Enid, Oklahoma, and he's vice president of the Enid Farm Credit up there. And welcome back, Cade, and I hope everybody's enjoying the show, the first part of the show. If you missed it, he was doing some play-by-play stuff with his cow chip throwing win this year at the Beaver, and it was good. That was my favorite video of the weekend on social media, and I said I got to get a hold of him. And luckily, I have friends in low places that had your mobile number, and I got it. And here we are. But so you are into agriculture loaning financial business up there, but you also it sounds like you have cattle.
Yeah, I've got a small herd of cows, but. You know, like I said, they're kind of what you'd consider the smaller Hereford. They're classic Herefords or mini Herefords, but which started out as a, you know, I was going to raise some for my kids to show, and now I've got 12 cows or something, so it's a little out of hand. But it's been fun. You know, the girls are learning a lot, so that's good.
How old are your girls?
13, 11, and the baby will be 8 here not long. So.
Oh, yeah, it won't be long. She can get in 4-8s and start showing if that's what she's going to do.
Yeah, the oldest one shows. The middle one, she doesn't really like it. And the little one, she thinks she wants to, but she thinks she wants to do lots of things. So you just never know.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's been good for them, and it gives them something to play with and learn about. And so it's been really good.
Yeah, because there's always that saying that out there that kids that are raised out on the farm or raised that have raised their own livestock, it seems like they have better judgments and things, and their work ethics are a lot better than just the, not saying that normal kids' work ethics aren't good, but you know, when you have to work cattle or sheep or goats or hogs, when you got to mess with them every day, you learn responsibility.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you're in the with Farm Credit up there, what are you seeing up in your area? I mean, it's not that far up there from here, you know, a couple hours from here, but there's a lot of difference in farm ground and farming techniques and ranching techniques from one county to the next. I mean, in our listening area, we go clear down by Altus, which, you know, that's all cotton, and they do have some ranches down there. And then you get up here to Elk City, and we got everything. We got cotton, wheat, peanuts, the whole nine yards. And then you just go just a little bit north of here, and you get into the real hard rolling plains and Dewey and Ellis, and, you know, that's a lot of ranch land up in there. But what are you seeing and hearing? How's it affecting everybody up there? You know, the hot item right now is the packer processor, or the producer processor things going on, and corn, the fertilizer's high, and corn's high, and I mean, everything's just ridiculous high right now. Chemicals are doubled in price almost. So what are you seeing with your customers up there?
Well, I think right now there's still a general optimism out there, even though, you know, we are seeing some input costs that are a lot higher than normal, but we're seeing commodity prices that are as high as we've seen in years. And so the other thing is, right now we've got some tremendous soybeans out in the field. We've got some tremendous corn. The cotton looks good. And so, you know, there's just kind of a euphoria right now that, you know, this is going to be a really good year for some guys. And you know, coming off of a pretty good wheat harvest, I mean, I think some of these guys have, you know, with a price that they could, you know, that they could finally do something with. I mean, I think it's been a year that guys have kind of healed up. Now, I think on the other side, when these guys go to put their next crop out and the realization of, you know, what it's going to take to put that next crop out, I think then we're going to see some, you know, some of those guys come off of that euphoria and say, hey, this is going to cost me a lot of money. But right now, you know, we've got a lot of, we've got a lot of these crops that are going to be harvested this fall that are going to be really good. So, you know, I guess we're seeing a lot of that. And then, you know, cattle producers, I mean, you know, they're just kind of, you know, it's like, I mean, they're just kind of out there. I haven't heard a lot from those guys and as far as their, you know, what they're feeling right now. But,
well, they, there's like equipment wise, you know, equipment costs are extremely high right now. Well, the technology has made the cost of equipment going up with the precision agriculture going on and stuff like that. And I've noticed, looking through on some of the older equipment, that, you know, you take like a 4640 or 4650 that was made back in the 70s and 80s that you could usually go buy for $15,000-$20,000, you know, and it's going to have 10,000 hours on it. I've seen in the last year that stuff hasn't really doubled in price, but almost it's gone up a bunch because, you know, some farmers are still, you know, got small acreages and they can't afford to go out and buy a $150,000-$200,000 tractor to farm 200-300 acres. You know, if they got 1,000 acres, that's a different ball game, and it depends on their crop too. But it's just crazy how the older equipment is going up, and I think probably because they can work on it for one thing. And number two, it doesn't have the depth on it, you know, because a lot of the problems with the, you hear farmers complaining about is, you know, it cost me $500 to have them come out and clear a code because my depth's off, you know. And are you seeing anybody coming in wanting to help finance, buy some older equipment?
Yeah, I mean, we see some of it. I mean, I'm with you. I see a lot of this. You know, how much this machinery has went up in the last year, but, you know, I attribute a lot of that to the amount of, you know, the PPP loans, the amount of cash that's out there. You know, it's just, and I also say that a lot of it's with this commodity prices. As we've seen, you know, as we see commodity prices go up, we also see, you know, a general optimism with farmers. And as commodity prices go down, you'll see guys pull back, and then it seems like the machinery values typically go down. But, yeah, I mean, we're seeing some of that. I mean, I, you know, it seems like right now, though, I don't finance a whole, you know, a lot of this older machinery because, you know, I compete with cash all the time. And so many of these guys have cash right now that, I mean, I've got pretty good rates, but I can't beat, you know, I can't beat cash, you know. So that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, on the equipment. Yeah, because I tell you what, there's some equipment out there. I'm afraid to even get in there because I'll hit the wrong button because I'm almost 60. And I know there's a lot of guys out here because, you know, I had a couple guys in here, guests in here a few weeks ago, and they were talking about, you know, if our satellite goes down or the broadband or Wi-Fi goes down, you know, I got a 120-foot boom out there spraying, and there's no way I'm going to guess that by eyeballing like we used to do back in the old days. So it's
it's
crazy. So anything.
Well, and I see.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I see some machinery that it just, you know, it seems like to me it'd be hard to justify owning, but I'm sure they sell it because they're producing it. But I've seen a self-propelled baler the other day, which, you know, I'd never seen one of them before, but and then I seen the price on it and I thought, wow, you're gonna have to bale a lot of hay, you know. But I mean, I'm sure.
How much was it? I haven't even seen one.
Oh, about a quarter of a million, it looked like.
Oh, well, that's better than one of those strippers, those baler strippers. They're somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million dollars, and you darn sure gonna have to bale a lot of cotton to pay for that thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you been blessed to be on one of those yet, or be close to one?
I've been around one. I haven't got to ride on one. I'm too afraid they'll catch on fire. I think that's kind of pretty common. But yeah, I mean, I've been able to finance a couple. But yeah, that's kind of new to me because up in this country, we really didn't have hardly any cotton until the last 3, 4, 5 years,
right?
And we still don't have a lot. So
the amount of bales I seen outside, I can't remember that little town we went through there on Kansas between Ashland and Greensburg. The amount of cotton I seen out there in that yard, somebody's got a lot of cotton around there because they was hundreds of round bales of cotton out there dressed in yellow plastic, and that just caught me way off guard. You remember stuff like that. You're used to it around here, but when you're up in Kansas, like, where does cotton come from? So
exactly.
Well, have you got anything out there that you're seeing that you would like to tell our listeners out here of any forecast or anything in the future you see coming up with agriculture that'll help them with their pre-planning?
Well, you know, around here it seems like land is pretty hot, a pretty hot commodity, and it just, I guess they're not making any more of it. I sound like an auctioneer, but it's been crazy. I mean, we've been seeing land prices that just continue to climb, and we see a lot of outside influences from other states that are moving here that are, you know, that still think that we've got some of the cheapest land, you know, in the nation, and I think that's hard for us as Oklahomans sometimes to realize that the land's still pretty cheap in Oklahoma, and so we're seeing that influence from others that are coming in this area. And so I guess what I tell your listeners is Oklahoma's a pretty good place. I mean, people still want to, I mean, people are moving here. So you know, every time it gets hot, you think you're gonna die and you wonder why you live in Oklahoma. Well, there's somebody else that wants to, that may be wanting to move here and buy your farm. So hang in there.
Yeah. Well, I just had a text in on the ag line. He's asking for some advice. He said, how do you go out and buy, and he's just giving an example. He said, how do you go out and buy 80 acres of grassland that you can probably put 10 to 15 cows on it, and you pay $1,500 to $2,000 an acre for it? How would you, and then you got to borrow your money for your cattle. How do you make that work?
Well, I mean, I tell him it won't work. I mean, it really won't. I mean, if you want to know the truth, I mean, if you have to borrow money on your cows and you have to give $1,500, $2,000 an acre for grass, I mean, there's just no way to make that pencil out because, you know, you're not, I don't know what you guys' stocking rate is over there, but you're not going to be able to run very many head of cows. And you know, especially when you borrow money on the cows and they don't they don't give those away. So, I mean, unfortunately, you know, that's a deal where a guy needs to, he's going to have some more land, or he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have some off-farm income to really make that deal work. And I see guys, you know, young guys especially, that think that, well, if I just buy some cows that, and I have a few calves, that that's pure profit. Well, you and I both know that you can't run a cow for a year for free. You know, I mean, you've got quite a bit of money in that cow, you know, standing out there. Even if you own the ground, I mean, you've got money in that cow. So, I mean, yeah, that's kind of a, you know, a bad side. It's hard to get into agriculture. I mean, it just, you know, without any capital. I mean, it's probably harder now than it has been in years, you know.
Yeah, that's I hear people, I've heard some guys tell me, you know, I pay for my cows, and if I buy a second calf heifer, and I got that cow paid for by the time she has her, you know, like he's got two calf crops. And I said, you really ever put a pencil to that? That you actually going to pay for that cow in 2 years? I said, who's making the land payment? I mean, if you own your land, that's one thing. But if you got your land payment, you got your cattle payment, you know, when it takes more than a couple of calves to pay for all that.
You're right. And it's, you know, and that's, you know, that's sometimes a, you know, a tough conversation that I have to have with, you know, it seems like with young guys especially, but it's, you know, it's one that has to be had sometimes.
So. Yep. Cause you want to see young people, especially right out of college, get into the ag business, you know, and if their family wasn't in it, you really want to see them get into it, but you got to look on the real side too, you know, like, hey, this is what it's going to take. And that hay and feed and those vaccinations and working them calves and stuff, that stuff ain't free.
No.
So, but
and you know, and just having facilities. I mean, you find out real quick that you don't have the facilities to work any calves. You know, I mean, and so then what are you going to do? And then you got to buy all that stuff. I mean, that just, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of money.
Yeah, you got to buy a trailer to haul them to the vet to get them worked if you don't have the facilities. And there's a lot more to it. But we've got a lot of successful ranchers and farmers in Oklahoma, and I think we got a great state we live in here.
I think we've got a lot of older guys that want to help younger guys. You know, I mean, really, but it's just. You know, it's hard to just say, I mean, there's not some kind of, you know, help a young kid out hotline. But, I mean, I think there are some guys that would be happy to help young guys that are wanting to get into ag. But, you know, I don't know, have a good way of getting everybody in touch. So,
well, first they can go to Beaver and they can win the cow chip throwing contest and they can get some sponsors, or maybe somebody will set them up a GoFundMe account or something.
There you go. Now you may be onto something, Jimmy. That could be a way to do this.
Well, we have a lot of buffalo in this area. And matter of fact, there's a feed yard out there west of Wheeler, Texas. It's just nothing but buffaloes. So I would suggest to you is to give me a ring sometime, and we'll go out there in one of their pastures, or go over there to the, I don't know, it'd probably be pretty sloppy over at the feed yard to practice with those, but you need to come out here and practice with those buffalo chips, and then a cow chip will just be second nature to you.
Then you just think it's easy after that. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Probably a good idea.
Well, Cade, I got to take a break, and I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I enjoyed it, and hope your popularity doesn't affect your job up there at the the Farm Credit. I wanted to say the Federal Land Bank, but that's a long time ago. But anyway,
yeah.
But thanks a lot, and congratulations on your cow chip throwing.
Well, thanks for having me, Jimmy. And I think my 15 minutes of fame is about to run up, and so that'll be good because I got to get back to reality.
All right. Well, have a great day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I'll be back with your weather, long ranger weather report right after this. Is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 9th. 1,339 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 299 brought 224. 6 at 524 brought 166. 10 at 579 brought 176. 45 at 800 brought 155. 22 at 879 brought 149. 5 head of heifers at 256 brought 185. At 432 brought 157. 49 at 670 brought 157.50. 8 at 739 brought 146.50. 21 at 1070 brought 112.50. Butcher cows were 41 to 90. Bred cows 1250 to 1300. Butcher bulls 75 to 113. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Beef, that's what's for dinner. Welcome back. That's my saying today. Guess what came out today? The brand new edition of Penny News. And there is all kinds of good stuff in this week's edition of the Penny News. And if you flip on over there about three or four pages, there's a two-page deal in there called Today in Ag. Jerry Nine's got his article in there, the Woodward Livestock Auction, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, Elk City Livestock Auction, Hobart Stockyards. We got Farmers Union Co-op. We have B&L Red Angus up there at Putnam, First National Bank, the Wheeler General Store, Canucks and Irrigation, Great Plains Bank. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Get in there and get some of this. And there's Jimmy's Tip of the Week. So this is one that I had a personal experience with. I got on the phone, and I was talking to my buddy, Mr. Donnie Walker, up by Grimes. And I was on my way from Elk City to Willow to check on the cows, and I need to put a bale of hay out for some feeder calves I got in the lot, and my bale of hay was there west of Carter. Got to talking on the phone, and I got about halfway to Willow, and I realized I forgot to stop and get a bale of hay. So my Jimmy tip of the week is, when you go feed your cattle, don't forget the hay. So anyway, pick up this week's edition. It came out hot off the press this morning. Current weather is 92 degrees. Heat index is 96. Wind southwest at 12 miles an hour with wind gust up to 17 miles an hour. I got to go bale some grass hay when the show's over. I cut about 40 acres yesterday and baled some outside rounds at Blue Stem and Side Up Grom and Mix Hay. It was pretty. I'm doing that for my landlord, and he's all happy because he's going to have some hay for this winter. Yesterday we had Hay Day Wednesdays, and I'm going to announce it again today. Greg Henderson over there south of Sayre has got some Midland 99 Bermuda grass hay in small squares and rounds, premium horse quality and cow hay available. You horse people out there, if you're listening, if you want some good grass hay, this is the good stuff. I've seen it. Horse hay has high protein with no stickers, no weeds, and heavy fertilizer, and some of it's irrigated. Cow hay is high quality, just a notch below the horse hay. Small squares and 21 bale bundles are $9 a bale. Horse rounds are $100 a bale. And cow rounds are $70 to $80 a bale. Volume discounts are available on all classes. Call him. It's about 10 miles south of Sayre. Greg Henderson at 580-574-5375. Well, the USDA AMS market reports provide hay price transparency. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Marketing Service prepares a weekly market report for major market outlets around the country. Weekly reports is a service of the agency's Livestock, Poultry, and Grain Market News Division provides data from 12 major hay auctions locations from Wyoming to Virginia, as well as 16 major hay producing states, and Oklahoma is one of those, to provide producers with hay price ranges for a variety of crops from dairy quality alfalfa to grass hay. In establishing the basis for hay prices, the agency's hay market price appeals apply to general quality grading guidelines for different forages types, namely alfalfa, grass hay. Official USDA hay standards and grades do not exist, according to the handbook provided by Guyer. But for marketing reporting purposes, there are hay quality destinations and guidelines for hay test parameters. There are several data points that reflect specific physical attributes of hay and its value as a feedstock. For alfalfa, according to the AMS, there's designations for our supreme, premium, good, fair, and utility, which are based on relative feed value, total digestive nutrition, crude protein, and fiber content. So go through this, and the supreme is the highest nutrition, has the highest nutrition content with very early maturity, pre-bloom, soft stem, and extra leafy. Hay is excellent color and free of damage. Premium, early maturity, extra leafy, and fine stem with high nutrition value. Hay is green and free of damage. Good, early to average maturity, leafy, fine to medium stem, and free of damage other than slight discoloration. Fair, late maturity, lots of blooms, what I say, moderate or below leaf content, and generally coarse stem. Hay might show light damage. Utility, very late maturity, coarse stem, hay discounted due to excessive damage and heavy weed contact or mold. Defects will be identified in market reports when using this category. So there's how they come up with your supreme, premium, good, fair, and utility. Just not a rule of thumb out there, but they actually have it in black and white up there. If you have any hay that you want to sell and you want me to announce it on the Today in Ag show, I'll be glad to, because I know all you farmers out there, your hay growers, don't have flip phones. So you guys with iPhones, I know you can text. So text in if you got some hay for sale to the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. This is a free charge I'm giving you right now. So if you want somebody to buy your hay out there, let me know and I'll help you out all I can. Well, groups ask Congress to double funds for land stewardships. Farm policy consultant Hefner said a doubling in the funding would amount to $50 billion over 10 years, which is called a very significant investment. Farm, wildlife, and environmental groups from the Sierra Club to the National Farmers Union on Wednesday called on lawmakers to increase funding for USDA land stewardship programs by $50 billion. The money would be part of the budget reconciliation bill that will accompany the infrastructure bill now under debate in the Senate, which they're still debating in the Senate, and they look like they've ran into a roadblock over at the House. What's new? What's new in Washington? Our current programs meet only a fraction of the need for voluntary conservation on the landscape, said a letter signed by 216 groups, including four dozen national organizations. That's why we are urging Congress to double the investment in Farm Bill conservation programs and ramp up conservation technical assistance funding in a corresponding manner. Farm policy said it was a doubling in the funding would amount to $50 billion over 10 years. He said it would be a very insignificant investment. President Biden had proposed a modest increase in land stewardship spending, around $300 million a year. In his long-delayed budget in May, advocates of the soil and water conservation said larger outlays are needed to meet Biden's goal of U.S. agriculture being first in the world to achieve zero net zero emissions of green gases. All right. Well, right after this, we'll come back with the Long Ranger on the weather forecast. And it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Beef! That's what's for dinner. Hey, welcome back. It's 92 degrees. Heat index is 97. Humidity is around 45%. The winds are 15 miles an hour. Gust up to 19 miles an hour out of south-southwest, so it's steadily getting up out there. Our Long Ranger forecast looks pretty wet this weekend. This is the mezzanette that I do my weather off of. Today, high 96. We're almost there tonight. The winds actually start calming down a little bit tonight and tomorrow, 8 to 14 miles an hour. So if you got some hay down, you don't want to get it wet, you better get it up today, because this summer, when they say 20% chance of rain, 30, 40, you can almost bet on the come line at Vegas that it's going to rain. So tomorrow is 96 degrees, 30% chance of rain during the day. Tomorrow night, 30% chance of rain. Saturday, 90 degrees, 50% chance of rain. Saturday night, 67 for a low, and we got 20% chance of rain. Sunday, 30% chance of pop-up thunderstorms, 88 degrees, and Monday, 89. That looks like a good break that we're needing. So anyway, it's hot out there. Guys, I need to remind you to go check your cattle. Make sure they got shade. If they're on water tanks and you don't have ponds out there or creek running through there, check the water at least every other day, if not every day. And be kind to your animals. I got an email or text message. Oh. We got, thank you. Thank you from Cordell on he's got 30 bales of oat and pea mix hay, good quality, $70 a bale. Call 580-574-6466. Sorry about that reading. It came in late. All I got was a thank you and then it popped up. But anyway, he's got 30 bales of oat, pea mix hay, good quality, $70 a bale, and I'm going to guess it's a round bale, and for that price, and 580-574-6466. So, thanks, sir, for texting in with that number. So, senators question slow pace of pandemic payments to farmers. The Biden administration has committed $7.3 billion in pandemic aid to farmers and ranchers since March, but payments are now much smaller. The Biden administration had committed $7.3 million But the payments have been smaller, and only $583 million in the past 4 months has been paid out, according to an unofficial tally by FERN. Four members of the Senate Agriculture Committee questioned the USDA on Monday about the lack of payments to farmers who produce hogs under contract. "We are concerned," said the senators in a letter to Agriculture Secretary Vilsack. A June 15th announcement of assistance for poultry contract growers did not mention hog contract growers, though both growers are entitled to the aid under December 2021's legislation. The USDA said in June they intended to implement the program within 60 days, which would be next week. Hog farmers are waiting for swine top payments that were announced in the closing weeks under the Trump administration and put on hold by the regulatory freeze by the incoming Biden administration, said Republican Senator Ernest and Grassley of Iowa and Democratic Senator Klobuchar and Tina Smith of Minnesota and one of Iowa. And so they are Minnesota and Iowa are number one in U.S. hog production. Well, hot off the press from Beckham County, from the FSA office, is wants to remind you of some important dates that are coming up. The if you're applying for NAP for your small grain pasture, wheat, rye, or Truticow, your deadline is August 31st, 2021. I need to get mine done. So get that all done. And there's also a foreign buyer's notification. The Agriculture Foreign Investment Disclosure Act requires all foreign owners of U.S. agriculture land to report holdings to the Secretary of Agriculture. Foreign persons who have purchased or sold agriculture land in the county are required to report this transaction to FSA within 90 days of closing. Failure to submit this form will result in civil penalties up to 25% of the fair market value of the property. So if you sold some land and it was foreign, you better report it because that's going to catch up with some stuff. Also, they're asking everybody to keep keeping up with very good livestock inventory records because, as everybody knows, in the last 2 years, we've got pandemic payments, your regular cow payments, drought payments, the whole nine yards. Keep up with those payments or your records on your cattle, weights, stock, the type, the number, the whole nine yards. Keep up with them, and somewhere down the line, that might pay off for you. Well, also hot off the press at noon, it was just announced that the USDA drops U.S. corn yields. Market surges 22 cents already today. The U.S. corn yield falls from below trade expectations, while soybean yields thoughts are left unchanged. As a result of the bullish USDA numbers, the CMA farm groups jumped up double digits. Corn's futures, or soybean futures, were 21 cents higher at 13.68. Wheat futures are 25 cents higher in September at 752. In this report, the USDA pegged the U.S. corn production in 14.75 billion bushels versus the trade's expectation of 15 billion bushels. So the U.S. corn average was pegged at 174.6 bushels per acre, and the expectation was at 177 bushels per acre, and the previous estimate was at 179.5. For soybeans, the USDA pegged out a 4.33 billion bushel versus the trade's expectation of 4.3, and the government's July estimate was at 4.4. So it looks like corn's going up again today, guys. Sorry about that. We don't need it, but it's good. Yesterday was the Hobart Stockyards deal, and they had a pretty good sale down there. Steers in the 4 to 5 weights was bringing as high as $1.99. Steers in the 6 to 7 weights averaging $6.41 was bringing up to $1.59.50. We got some heifers that were 120, were 3 to 4 weights, that was bringing up to $1.85. And bulls were bringing up to 97. And that was, thanks for that report down there, Rex. And this coming Friday is the Elk City Livestock Auction. So if you got any needs down there, call Brandon Hickey at the Elk City Livestock Auction. And I hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great day and God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.
A nationwide rise in coronavirus cases. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky today saying the U.S. is seeing increasing numbers of COVID-19 infections.